Hey there! Are you interested in getting access to the recordings of my monthly masterclass hangout, where we do deep dives into different travel hacking programs? If so, please check out the Patreon at patreon.com/geobreezetravel. Patreon members will also get to vote on the charity of the month, because in case you didn't already know, all of the GeoBreeze travel income gets earmarked for donations to different nonprofits. That includes the income from the monthly hangouts, coaching services, and credit card affiliate signups. Links to all of those are available in the show notes. This week's Patreon shout-out goes out to Megan. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
Like when they came for our wedding, I think my siblings, one of them only had to use his points and was able to fly his family across the country because he had them. Same for my dad, or when we've gone on vacation, they've been able to see the benefit of, I don't have to pay for that flight to go to Mexico because I already have it saved on my miles. And that really touches home, that you can go quote unquote home on miles.
Hola, travel hackers. You just heard a clip from Danny and Lori, also known on Instagram as Latinos with Passports. Danny is a Colombian from Miami, and Lori is Mexican from Seattle. In today's episode, we talk about some of the unique challenges that face the Latino community when it comes to travel hacking and personal finances, and also how Danny and Lori overcame those barriers to take some amazing trips around the world, including a $20,000 honeymoon to Bali. If you are interested in getting started with your travel hacking lifestyle, check out the links in the show notes to set up a free 30-minute coaching call with me. We will go over your personal goals and what kinds of trips you are looking to travel hack, and you will walk away with some clear next steps on how to get started with traveling for next to no cost. You can sign up at calendly.com/geobreeze and through the links in the show notes. And now, on with the show. Vámonos. Hey, Danny. Hey, Lori. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Thank you for having us here. Buenos dias.
Hey, Julia. Thanks for having us.
Hey, buenos dias. We are so excited to have you here today and learn all about your points and miles journey. But before we jump into that, tell us a little bit about your guys' background and how you got into the game of points and miles.
Okay, so I'm Danny, originally from Miami, Colombiano, and Lori is from Seattle and she's Mexican. And so we got into this whole travel hacking during our engagement. You know, when we were trying to plan for our honeymoon, we looked at pretty much the whole globe and we decided on Bali. And so at that point, we were trying to figure out how can we get there, you know, without dropping, you know, breaking the bank, but then also in comfort, because it is, after all, a very long flight. So that's what got us into the travel hacking game and pretty much try to figure out, hey, how can we get there without spending too much money and, you know, hey, how to get there in style.
What resources did you use at first when you were first learning about points and miles?
Well, we ended up first just diving in into Google search, okay, how do I get to Bali, right? So that was kind of like the first thing. We found the flights and everything. But then we knew we had to get into some sort of credit cards. And so then the first one that we ended up getting into was the Capital One Venture, because it was just a simple 2x miles and okay, you're good to go. And we started putting every single thing of our wedding into that credit card. And so the first big purchase was the first venue that we had for our wedding. You want to talk a little bit more about that venue?
Yeah, the first venue that we had, unfortunately, when we went to go see it, it was great. It was Parisian style theme. And then they told us later, actually, we're remodeling it to a German beer house. And like awful wallpaper. It fit the aesthetic for a German beer house, but not what we were looking for. And then they had beer refrigerators all over the place. And it was just...
Actually, one had it in the middle of the dance floor.
Yeah. So that was not going to work. And my parents were horrified that my family would be coming to this wedding in a beer hall. And so we were we had to cancel with them. Unfortunately, we were able to after some struggle. So we started looking at different hotels and just starting new. I think it was like 6 months out from the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were married over Memorial Day weekend, we actually were able to find a couple hotels that were willing to do business with us and had really great deals. So that really kicked it off for us.
Yeah.
That's nice. A lot of times if you're getting married over Memorial Day weekend, they're very crowded because a lot of people are traveling on that day. So were you using a business hotel or something else of why it was mostly empty?
No. So we actually ended up in that weekend in DC, Rolling Thunder comes by. That's like where the bunch of bikers come in and whatnot. And I think for some reason that weekend, they canceled. I don't know for what reason it was. So they had the hotels here in the area had space. So we started looking at the line, some more of the DC established hotels, and some were just not in our budget. Although the line had a very wonderful dinner that they gave us.
Yeah. And I think also once we started seeing the packages that they would provide, that was really appealing to us. And as Danny was working on the honeymoon, seeing that Marriott or the Westin could provide us points, that really started being eye-opening. So the Marriott was the most flexible in offering initially their times four,
because that was their special package.
Right. And then I believe Danny negotiated that they give us a higher rate, and that we would be able to accrue the points as well for our guests. So that ended up being the ultimate package for us.
Did you end up opening a Marriott credit card in addition to booking with them in order to get points?
Yes. So by that point, we had the Capital One Venture. We had the Lori's Alaska Mileage Plan credit card, because then we were thinking, wait a minute, how are we going to come back from Bali, right? I mean, we could have been fine just staying there, but we had to come back home, unfortunately. So that's where we started figuring out, okay, we're going to end up using Alaska miles to book Japan Airlines business class. Okay, so we needed to figure that out later. But for the hotel, we definitely ended up signing up with the Marriott Bonvoy Brilliant. So we went for the $450 one because that one had the highest time sits for the Marriott spend. So we were like, okay, we're hosting a Marriott event, which already gives you whatever amount of points that was, I think several 10,000 or 20,000. Points for hosting the event at a Marriott hotel.
Yeah, those meeting planner points.
Yeah, exactly. Times the four promotion that they were given in our wedding package, plus the time six. So we were just stacking and stacking and stacking Marriott points. And I honestly thought, as the groom, the hotels there are just to rip you off. But instead, it was actually very eye-opening from a Latino perspective, from a financial perspective, that you have power to negotiate these contracts. And that was I didn't know I could push the hotel that much to give me almost whatever I wanted.
Yeah. And I would also say changing that mindset. You tend to think that a lot of what you have to pay for a wedding is cash up front, but being able to put it on your credit card. So I, for my part of the wedding planning, like hair, makeup, everything that I could to put it on my credit card. I was tempted to almost ask my dad for my wedding dress that he paid for. Can I put it on my credit card and you can just pay it back? But that it just did not work out for the moment. So that was quite the strategy plan for our side.
And you were able to get Marriott points, not just for your room and the event, but also all of your guests in the room block who didn't have their own Marriott accounts. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, we were able to get their points. And then also anything that they ordered, like through room service or parking, et cetera, then we were able to accrue whatever miles or points that they got from that as well.
Did you have to do a special negotiation for that with the hotel?
Yes. Just asking for it. It was. So we basically looked at the contract and we were like, here, what can we squeeze the most out of this? And I think that was the important part of that whole process, right? Again, feeling a bit empowered, right? I will say this, it also helped that our wedding coordinator at the hotel, she was Costa Rican. So it helped that a fellow Latina was there, a fellow person of color was there to help us through this process, right? That she wanted to help us out, have our dream wedding, as much as it was us, you know, trying to get the best deal possible.
You mentioned a lot about like your Latino background and how it does help to have people from the community helping you out with the wedding and everything. What do you think are some of the main barriers from getting more of the Latino community into Points and Miles and being able to travel for free?
Well, I mean, there's the lack of education, lack of understanding on how the whole system works to begin with. When I was growing up in Miami, we didn't grow up with a lot. Everything was, you know, the credit cards are the devil, you know, the financial institutions are the devil. And you want to stay away from that because they many times would act very predatory towards, you know, my parents. We had a few bad experiences and the community as a whole. So that those bad experiences, that discrimination, and unfortunately also just lack of family financial budgeting, you know, that also hurt credit scores, that, you know, the potential, right, to get a credit card. You just have so many bad experiences that I didn't have a credit card till I was 26.
Yeah, I think also for me growing up, credit was something that wasn't always seen as attainable or in the most strategic way. So my parents would have store cards. Like there were five kids of us. So it made sense for my parents at the time that we would have a Bon Marché, now Macy's, credit card, JCPenney's, Mervyn's, because they were going to put five kids through school credit cards. So I remember my mom would tend to get one right around the time for back to school shopping, because that's how she was going to be able to dress so many kids out the door. Now, she wasn't earning anything really from that other than a layaway style program with a high interest rate. So I think that's at the most fundamental everyday lifestyle financial transactions is where we need to start educating the minority population, and especially Latinos, on how to use credit effectively and really making their dollar work twice, thrice for them.
So many parts of me, and I'm sure many listeners, were just like getting chipped away as I heard that story where you said the word layaway, you said the word high interest rate, you said they weren't getting really any rewards. I'm like, oh, we need to help everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, once you know how to do better, it's on you to do better and share this information with the community as much as you can. And before we jump into educating the community about investing and a Roth in retirement, it starts just at the basic everyday level. When I am back home and I see my dad pay for groceries with a debit card, I'm like, no, you have the money in the bank. Just put it on your credit card and then just pay it off. If I think also it's important that with the Latino community is very cash driven and you never want to be indebted to anyone or owe. So you try to reconcile balances immediately. And so that probably is why we are such a cash-based system.
How does your family, your friends react when you try to educate them about here's how you can travel for free using Points and Miles? Because I know not even just in the immigrant or first generation community, but really in any of the travel hacking circles, there's always stories about, and then I tried to convince my mom to do this and she looked at me like I had four heads. So how has your family reacted to you trying to tell them about this hobby?
Yeah, I would say unfortunately from my side, it's led to a break, you know, to put it, you know, mildly. And I think a lot of that is that you're growing up in such a poverty mindset, because that's what we grew up in, that in those conditions. And you're so focused on today. I can't think about tomorrow. A savings, que es eso, you know, Roth IRA, mijo, we got to pay the rent. You know, like you're thinking so in the present. That then when I started realizing that for myself, that I can only help my family if I build myself to a point where then I can help them. They saw it as abandonment. They saw it as not me wanting to help them. And it was more like, no, I can't help myself. How can I help you? Right? Because I went through several unemployment periods here in DC. And so imagine that the immigrant son, the firstborn, right, having that pressure to help provide for the family and not going through unemployment. And I went to college. That starts breaking up some of these expectations, right? Some of those pressures, right? That, you know, you're supposed to be the one helping the family and you can't. So, but because you need to help yourself up first and build yourself up. So unfortunately on my side, yeah, it's not the best story to say, unfortunately, but my hope is that I'm able to continue building our wealth as a couple here. And that in time we can reconcile and, you know, help, because at the end of the day, I want my family to be in a better position.
Yeah. For my family, I think being West Coast based, opening credit in terms of Alaska credit card through, you know, we're just very brand loyalist, but Bank of America being on the West Coast, we've always had Bank of America. And when there was the Alaska Airlines Bank of America credit card, then it made sense for us to switch to that. So my dad has it, my siblings have it, and we always tell each other, if you're going to get it, send, you know, get a referral from one or the other to get it that way. When my dad goes maybe once or twice a year, it's like, Mija, how many points do I have? Can I just go on miles? Or, you know, your mom all of a sudden wants to come, and God bless my mom, she doesn't use her miles as much, but her balance isn't as high. And she'll be like, how many do I have? I'm like, mom, you have 7,000. I don't know where you're going with 7,000 miles. Maybe to LA one way, but you're not going to make the rest of the trip. So they're seeing it that way for sure.
That's awesome. And I am also the oldest child of a first generation family. So the pressure is real to try to help provide for the family and then provide some education around how these things work. And like, you're just trying to figure it out too. And you're like, I don't have all the answers, but here we are. And speaking of not having all of the answers, do you have a story about some mistake that you made in your travel hacking journey where you were like, okay, kids, don't make the same mistake that we did?
Well, the one that we like to say is our mattress mistake. So it wasn't quite a 400% mistake, but let me get to the details. So we were on shopping around for a new mattress because new mattress, new home, you know, perfect, right? We're just trying to make the home our own place. So our strategy was, okay, let's go to Macy's. Let's try out all the beds at Macy's. Of course, during the pandemic, which was kind of weird, but, you know, yeah, we were able to do it because we were the only ones at the mattress section of Macy's. So we go, we try them out, and then we were going to go online through the Alaska shopping portal to, you know, get a multiplier on that purchase because it was going to be $4,000 that we decided on. Cool. So we do that. We see that Macy's is at times 8. Perfect. We jump on that. I had just signed up for the Amex Gold, so I needed to meet a minimum spend. Go ahead and do it through with that card. We were going to double dip quite nicely. A couple of weeks pass by. I don't see the Alaska miles. I contact them. They have a great customer service.
How many miles?
That would have been 32,000 miles. 8 times $4,000. Ooh. Okay. Credit to Alaska Shopping Center portal. They do have a great customer service when you send them the receipt and everything. And they contact us and they say, well, you know, in the fine print, it says we do not honor furniture purchases. Oh, my goodness. That was terrible.
Right. So at that point, I'm thinking, how badly, like, we're in our 30s. Is our backs that bad? Like, do we need a $4,000 mattress, or can we settle with like something much lower? I mean, we've made it this far without $4,000 mattress. Now that we have it, we're like, absolutely recommend it. But yeah, missing out on all those miles after, I feel like half of the convincing was Danny saying like, no, let's get the mattress, invest in that, because we're going to get such a big reward at the end of it by using our credit card, yeah, and the Macy's shopping portal. And then for it to not pan out, that was a bummer. It's a learning lesson for sure.
Read the fine print.
Definitely read the terms and conditions for all of these, yep, different hacks that people try to do, especially with, yep, shopping portals. That is rough to be like, we can get this $4,000 Tempur-Pedic mattress because we can fly for free.
That was exactly the mentality, right? And even, you know, when we first started doing all this with the shopping portal, convinced Lori, because she was always the store brand credit card, right? You know, she had a Macy's card and she would always, you know, use the Macy's card. And it was one day where I think it was at 10 times miles. I was like, honey, I can get us to Japan, do this 10 times. And I think that's when she was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, it's a, I had grown up seeing my parents use their store credit card. So when I was able to get approved for a Macy's credit card, why would I not? And so I always used that, and the reward back was like, spend $10 and get spend $100, get $10 coupon that sometimes, or a 15% off coupon that didn't work on magically, never worked at the register for what you were buying. And so to change that mindset from, I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to look at what I'm interested in, I'm going to take a picture of the tag, come home and buy it online through the shopping portal when it makes sense at a high enough return rate. Like that has been very, very different. You don't come home from the store with shopping bags anymore. You just come home with your camera roll full of pictures that you want to buy online.
Sounds good. And speaking of all of the free flights that you've gotten, let's talk a little bit more about this Bali trip. Break it down for us. What was the planning process, the redemption process? How much would this have cost if you had to pay for it all in cash? Walk us through this amazing absolutely. Trip.
So let me start off with the cash value. It would have been $20,000 to go to Bali via Dubai, Singapore, and on the way back, Bangkok, Tokyo. But we only spent about $5,000. So 75% off, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was, when we saw those numbers, we were just like, my goodness, this whole, the whole engagement, the whole wedding plan, all of that was great, right? So first part was DC to Singapore via Dubai on Emirates business class. What we did was we bought the economy tickets, and then we decided to upgrade using our Capital One miles. Remember, we were using that one as our workhorse for our engagement, and we had a whole stash of miles there. Luckily for us, so there's a little bit of luck here. 1 week, Capital One decided to transfer their miles one-to-one to Emirates. That week, I was on the phone. I was in the middle of DoorDashing, and then I saw that offer dropped, and I just stopped DoorDashing. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to drop off this last order. I was literally in the middle of Arlington, Virginia. I parked the car on the side. I was like, Emirates, please get me this flight upgraded. I got the miles here. Boom, done. Awesome. So we got, yeah, and I didn't even tell you that story, I don't think, right? Yeah, I was delivering Nando's. We did that business class flight through Dubai to Singapore, and then to Bali, and from Bali to Bangkok, we did Air Asia. Really cool airline. I mean, it was a good economy, low cost airline. On the way to Bangkok,
the best matcha tea cake on Air Asia flights. We came back home with like five. For everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really delicious. And so we did that for Air Asia, but then we hacked those flights by using the Capital One purchase erase, because we ended up still having enough miles in the account. So we just decided to purchase erase that. And then on the way back, Bangkok, and by the way, we had to go through Bangkok and Tokyo, because original plan was to go to Hong Kong, but that's when the pro-democracy protests were going on. In Bali, we had to call Alaska and be like, hey, we need a reroute, you know, how can you help us out? So, you know, they, again, Alaska is like our go-to. They're so fantastic. And so we ended up going through Bangkok, Tokyo, back home to San Francisco. And then that flight from San Francisco back to Dulles, all that was part of Japan Airlines. That was also business class. That one was a straight redemption, 65,000 Alaska miles with that stopover in Tokyo. So that's just the flights. Hotel-wise, as you guessed it, you might have guessed it, we use our Marriott points. So we stayed in Dubai at LaVille with an amazing view of the Burj Khalifa. And they upgraded us to a bedroom residence. So that was really nice of them. Singapore, we stayed at the... And then in Tokyo, we stayed at the Motsi Tokyo.
That was
really
fun.
Yeah, that was a really fun one. Interesting neighborhood, we'll just say that. But the hotel itself was pretty cool. Bangkok, we ended up paying that redemption because... change, so we stayed at the Sheraton next to the river there. And then in Bali, we ended up using hotels, because back in that day, my line of work, I'm a field organizer, do a lot of voter registration work. And so in that job that I had, it was more important for them to have me stay at the cheapest hotel and not necessarily stay with one. Ended up hacking hotels.com. And because I had the Capital One card, I was also able to use that when they had the 10 times partnership with Capital One needs to bring that one back. If I can give a shout out to Capital One and be like, please bring back that hotels.com 10 times. It's actually quite valuable because for the two hotels that we stayed in Bali, the around $1,500 with the free nights that we ended up getting and plus their price match guarantee, we were able to drop that to $1,100. So, you know, $400 of savings there. So overall, $20,000, we only ended up paying about $5,000 of it, you know, including other additional costs.
That's amazing. And was your Bali hotel more of like a boutique style homestay instead of a chain hotel?
We did two different hotels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did two different hotels. One was the Anasura Luxury Villas in Ubu, which, you know, basically we had the tropical rainforest right there outside welcoming us every morning. One time I did see a monkey too on the third with the monkeys.
It got a little too close.
The other one was the Royal Pernana, you know, at the shore. Side. It was beachside. It was really nice. So yeah, it was more on those boutique sides. So hotels.com is really good for that, right? If you're looking for more of the boutiques, don't really care about loyalty, recommend it. It's actually a pretty good program.
That's awesome. And so what's your next trip that you're planning with your points?
We have several on the pipeline. The one I was able to finalize is our...
And what the listeners aren't seeing is Danny opening up this notebook full of notes, highlighted different map sketches that he keeps of where we're going to next. So here goes.
We can kind of hear the paper flipping back and forth. I'm just not going to edit that out so that everybody knows how much the paper is flipping back and forth as he's like showing us the notes about this plan.
This is the second.
All right, go.
Here goes the mad scientist.
We're looking to go to North Africa in the middle of November. And so we got our flight from DC to Casablanca using Ed miles to book Royal Air Maroc. So listeners, learn your airline alliances, and this airline can put the 88K business class for two. Perfect. We're going to stay in Morocco for a week. And then from there, we're going to go from Casablanca to Cairo. We decided to use Avianca Life Miles to book Egypt Air business class. Took advantage of the Black Friday sales back in November 2020, where they were selling 3 for 1. So that was actually a good deal. That reduced the price about in half from like about a couple thousand to like $700 for business class. We're going to stay in Cairo and Luxor a week total in Egypt. And then from there, Aeroplan miles to book Cairo to Abu Dhabi on Etihad business class, shorter flight, but that we'll stay in Abu Dhabi for a couple of days and Dubai for a couple of days. And we just cannot wait to show our followers when we stay at the Almaha Resort in outside. We'll stay for a night. It is an all-inclusive, and we're going to do it for 85,000 Marriott points, which is their standard. We were looking for the 70, you know, to really, you know, hack that one, but we'll stick with the 85 because the other days are basically 100,000 Marriott points. So can't wait to show everyone just how amazing this trip is going to be. I'm going to get my history binge on, you know, just because I'm just such a big history nerd on that front. But then we're just going to get the nice rest and relaxation that, you know, I'm sure all of us can use.
Yeah.
That sounds incredible. So also tell us, what do you do in your day jobs? Is that how you're getting all of these points? How are you getting all of these points from day to day that you get to stay at all-inclusive resorts and fly around?
I wish that this was part of our day job. We keep talking about, should we have a career change? Like be in the loyalty airline business, something. But no, I work for the federal government. And I think a lot of it has just been lifestyle changes for us, being very strategic. We have become debt-free after about 20 plus thousand coming into the marriage and tackling that and just looking to tackle our student loans next. But like I said,
when it comes to shopping, I think before I head out the door, Danny is like, first thing I ask him is, which credit card am I taking? Like, if I'm going grocery shopping, use
the Amex Gold.
If I'm going if I'm going to go get something from, like, if I'm going to go clothes shopping, then I'm going to go take a look at it, come back home, and then buy it off of online, right? And then also, if we're going to go out to eat, we're going to use
Amex Gold, or we can use your Marriott, depending on which one we're trying to push.
Yeah.
The Hilton one too.
And making sure that we're looking at the dining portals as well, so that there's miles there. So it's a discipline. It's a lifestyle change.
Yeah. And then on my end, I work in the nonprofit sector here in DC. And fortunately for me, it's a little hard to keep a job down, right? Especially when doing election work, that's very seasonal. In my current position, where I work at Feeding America, I've been able to gain, you know, a position where it's what is it? It's stand, right? It's a
steady
job. Exactly. It's a steady job. I'm able to, you know, work hard, you know. Yeah, it doesn't obviously, you know, everyone in the nonprofit sector knows it's not a high paying job in that sense, right? I'm not making six figures, and I'm not in it here for the six figures, but mm-hmm. it is that lifestyle change. It is that mm-hmm. even though I might be making a salary, it's all about maximizing that spend that I'm doing, right? Really, yeah. The only spend that we're not maximizing in terms of earning points is my student loan payment. That's the only debt that we have yeah. left.
And our mortgage. When mm-hmm. we were renting a year ago, we would pay our rent on a credit card because that made sense. There was value there. But I would say Danny does travel a lot more, or did pre-pandemic. Yeah, pre-pandemic, so that yeah. definitely helped.
And I think that makes it even more impressive that you don't have to have consultant lifestyle where somebody's paying for you to fly to rack up all of these different airline miles. And even if you don't make six figures, as long as you're allocating stuff strategically, you can still take $20,000 trips around the world and it's not going to wreck your budget. So I think that's always just a good message for everybody too.
And that was the thing, right? Even, you know, during our engagement, you know, it was always, you know, we had some discussions like, hey, you know, are we staying in budget? Are we making sure that I didn't want to have wedding debt, and neither did Lori. None of us wanted to have that dreaded wedding debt afterwards, mm-hmm. right? I mean, some of the stats do say that one of the leading causes of divorce after the first year is that wedding debt. And so mm-hmm. marriage is hard. It's a lot of work. Why add financial problems to that?
Right. And I think one of our first early milestones or highlights as a couple was that the day after our wedding, going and paying off the balance, we were done. Like, the event had happened and we were starting our lives without any debt. 6 months after, we finished paying off that $23,000 of debt at the same time. So yeah, thank you. And that came with, you know, side hustling. Mm-hmm. Danny mentioned earlier that he was doing DoorDash. I have a love of kitchenware and cooking. So I picked up a side job at Sur La Table. And it was a dream job to be among super fancy kitchenware, but also just making some money on the side. And that would just all go off to my debt. And we were able to blast through that. It's amazing how we were able to put off this very nice wedding and also pay off $23,000 of debt within a year. And now, almost 2 years married, be moving into our first home as well.
Yeah. And then I also tutor on the side as well. Yeah. And so that also helps. I would say that for those looking to make that instant income, I would suggest doing more of like what I do, tutor, try to find clients that pay you direct as opposed to DoorDash. Because after a while, it doesn't pay as well because of the taxes you have to pay at the end of the year, right? And then the car, you know, it goes into a while. But for that moment of time, and, you know, that we did it, you know, after the wedding, even before the wedding, when I was unemployed, because there was even a period during the engagement I was unemployed, it did help in filling in the gaps, right? And so it is that mentality. It is in many ways a mentality, but it's also means, right? If you're able to get that side hustle, do it. And especially for a lot of us that are college educated, that, you know, have these other skill sets that we can provide, you might as well get paid for it.
All of those are such good messages too. And congratulations on becoming debt free, paying off your debt on the house.
Thank
congratulations you. On all of it. Yeah. And so as we're wrapping up here,
What would you say is your number one piece of travel hacking advice for listeners today for me to put on an Instagram graphic?
I mean, use the shopping portals. I mean, that was kind of like the biggest thing that we did from a lifestyle perspective, being strategic with your spend. A lot of times it was not an impulse shopping for sure. You know, changing that mentality from going impulse to shop was really one of our biggest things.
Yeah, for me, it's really about knowing that you can do it. You can go out and see different parts of the world. Our tagline is Vamos Viajando. The world needs to see us. Let's go traveling. And it's important is that there's more faces that look like ours and yours to be seen around the world, to bring back those experiences to their families, because it's life-changing just to bring in different cultures and understanding that we don't have to be stuck in just our hometowns and that we don't go outside of the state. There's a whole world to see and the world to see us.
And I'm so glad for your guys' Instagram account showing more of the Latino community how to travel hack, because traditionally a lot of the content has just been around, oh, here's how to do some luxury travel to some new place around the world. Here's how to do some family travel with Southwest Companion Pass or something. But there's so many people out there who are probably like, I just want to visit my mom in Honduras and I can't come up with $800 to do that. So I think that what you guys are doing and bringing this more so into the light for the Latino community is
absolutely, it's really absolutely amazing. The strategies to do it, right? Because, you know, maybe not everyone wants to go to the other side of the world, and that's totally fine, right? For many in our community, they just want to be able to go back home, like you said. So,
yeah. And now that we know better, it's on us to share with others on how to do better.
For sure. And speaking of sharing, what is another Instagram account that you guys would recommend that listeners follow because of really good travel hacking advice and points and miles tips?
Well, we definitely want to recommend if we can too, but then Pero I can do it. She's an up and coming one for budgeting. So, you know, in order to do the travel hacking well, you have to get the budget in line first, right? So if you need some help on the budgeting, you know, go ahead and do that. And then what about another one that we can think of?
Following Nita, I think, is really great in highlighting. She's from Florida, and highlighting, just bringing again that face to Latino travel and how to get out there. She focuses on budgeting, traveling on the cheap, if you will, staying in hostels, hostels with great views, and exploring a lot more. She's been to several countries. So I think that she's a great positive person to follow for that travel inspiration.
Perfect. So, and where can we find you guys on the internet?
At Latinos with Passports. We have also ventured into Clubhouse. That is a whole new area for us. At Latinos with Passports, but without some of the vowels, unfortunately.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It has been such a pleasure getting to hear from you guys and your journey. And I am excited to hear about your trip to Egypt and Dubai and all around the world once that Absolutely. Becomes available and you guys take that trip.
There.
Yeah, thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!